Hallelujah. We thank God. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again because truly you're a loving Father. There's no one like you. We thank you for the gift of Josie. We thank you for all our children. We thank you because truly these ones, they'll be everything you've called them to be in the name of Jesus. As we go into your word, Father, we pray that your word would find good ground in our hearts in the name of Jesus. We pray for those of us that might have hardened hearts. Father, we pray that today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that every heart of stone would be turned into a heart of flesh in the name of Jesus. We pray that we'll not harden our hearts to your word. We'll not take it lightly. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would open our eyes of understanding so that as your word comes forth, it would come alive within us in the name of Jesus. Father, don't let any of us remain the same. Speak to us. Transform how we think, who we are by reason of your word. For those of us that might be spiritually sleeping, Father, let your word cause an awakening in the name of Jesus. For those of us that need restoration in one area or the other, Father, let restoration come by reason of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit today. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Good afternoon, just right about afternoon. So good afternoon, church. How's everybody doing? It's real summer now. I love the hot weather, but I think I'm feeling it myself. And we thank God for that. We thank God for his goodness, for his grace. So the past couple of weeks, this month, we've been looking at the power to perform. And last week we looked at the topic, but they could not heal him. And what we've been looking at is that God's power is in us to perform, to be, and to do what he's called us to do. And we're reminded that we mustn't forget who we are or what we carry, because if we don't know who we are in Christ, or if we don't know what we carry, then we can't perform. We can't be who he's called us to be fully, and we can't do what he's called us to do. And today, by God's grace, we're going to be continuing along that same theme. And I thank God for the Sunday school where we looked at being spiritually awake and guys who are spiritually dead and all that. But today, what we're going to be looking at, what we're going to be reminding ourselves of, is that to be who God has called me to be, for you to be who God has called you to be, to do what he's assigned you to do, for me to do what he's assigned me to do, it all starts with relationship. It all starts with relationship. So the question that I want you to ask yourself and answer in your own heart is, how is my relationship with God? Individually, it's a very personal question. It's a very individual question. I can't answer it for you. I can't even answer it for my husband. But you want to ask yourself today, how is my relationship with God? And as we go through God's word, as you listen, I want you to be reflective. I want you to be asking yourself questions and answering honestly. And I pray that our relationship with God, for those of us that are far away, that it will become a relationship that's close up. For those of us that are sleeping, that there will be an awakening, that our relationship with God would be what God wants it to be. I cannot go out and perform. I cannot go and do the miraculous. I cannot be filled with faith if my relationship with God is not right. It all starts with relationship. So we're just going to go through a few steps and a few areas in our lives where we need to make sure that our relationship with God is in line. It's not exhaustive. It's just a few things. But what I really, really want to almost plead with us to do is don't just let the words flow over you. As you listen, be thinking about your life, your relationship with God. And I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit as much to myself as to everyone else. So when it comes to relationship with God, we all know the first step is accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Salvation. We all know John 3:16. If I ask some of our children to recite that, they can do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've known that since I was a child, but do I really know it? Relationship starts with believing. Relationship starts with knowing that. Relationship starts with embracing that. And Paul was talking to the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians, and he said to them, he was talking to Christians, he was talking to people who knew God, and he said to them, examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith. And on the surface of it, that seems like a very odd question. He was talking to the church, but he said, examine yourself. And so we want to examine ourselves, whether we're truly in the faith. did I just say a prayer at some point in my life? You know, maybe the preacher scared me that day with hell, or something happened and I said a prayer and nothing changed. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith. But it can't stop there. And so the next step, it can't stop there. We need to draw near. That relationship can't just be a relationship of, now I'm saved, given my life to Jesus, and that's it. No. God is calling us to draw near to him. He's calling us into intimate relationship with him. James 4:8, the A part says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. John 10:27 says, my sheep, this is Jesus speaking. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you hear God's voice? When last did God speak to you one-on-one? My sheep, they hear my voice. If I am his sheep, if I belong to him, if I'm in relationship with him, I must be hearing his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say there's a chief sheep that would hear my voice and then go and interpret it to the rest of the sheep. No, one-on-one relationship. My sheep, they hear my voice. When last did you hear the voice of the shepherd? When we're in relationship with God, we hear his voice. And he says, I know them. And he says, it doesn't stop there. They follow me. Do you hear his voice? And do you follow him? Are you following his instructions? Are you following his guidance? I love Isaiah 28, 29. It talks about God. And he says, this God is the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Does God counsel you in wonderful ways? Does he guide you? Do you follow his guidance? Or do you only hear his voice when you hear a sermon? Are you hearing his voice? Are you his sheep? John 10 verses 4 and 5, still that same John 10 verses 4 and 5, he says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know the voice of God? When you hear something, do you know whether it's God speaking or are you confused? He says his sheep, they know his voice. They can discern what is of him and what isn't of him. Why? Because they're in relationship. Verse 5 says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but would flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. They wouldn't follow the voice of strangers. Have you been following the voice of strangers? The voice of culture, the voice of compromise, the voice calling you to conform, the voice of running after power and wealth and all that. What voice are you following? He says, my sheep, the guys in relationship with me, they wouldn't follow the voice of a stranger, but my voice, they know my voice. They know my voice. And it speaks of relationship. You know, the more that we're in relationship with God, the more that I draw close to him, the more that you draw close to him, the more we know him, the more we know his voice, the more we can discern when it's God and when it's not God, the more we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. Take an example. Think of someone now who you're really close to. Anybody. Might be a spouse, a father, a mom, best friend, anyone. When you hear their voice without seeing them, you know that this is the person speaking, right? Or is it just me? If your husband calls, would you be saying, ah, who is that? Or would you know it's him? If you're saying, ah, who is that? There's a problem. Trust me, there's a deep problem. But we know, you know his voice. You know your children's voice. You know whether it's your first child speaking or your last child, because you know them. Somebody that you're really close to, somebody comes and says, you know what this guy did? I can't believe it. I was so shocked. This is what he did. Because you know them, you say, no. He couldn't have done that. He wouldn't do that. I know him. Somebody who really knows me, if someone comes to you and says, oh, Fumi said this, you say, no, Fumi can't say that. I know her. But if you don't know me, you say, ah, and there we were thinking, you know, because you don't know me. It's the same with God. Are you his sheep that hears his voice, that knows his voice? Are you in relationship with him? In Luke 15, verses 11 to 35, we all know the story. We're not going to read it today, but Luke 15, 11, 35, some of us know it as the parable of the prodigal son. Some of us know it as the parable of the lost son. But in that story, you see different relationships. You see two sons who each had relationships with their father. You see two brothers who had relationship with each other. And you see the relationship of the father. On the surface of it, there was something very wrong with the relationship of the younger son. We agree with his father, right? please respond. Be awake, be alert, okay? So on the surface of it, there was something wrong with that relationship. Do we agree? Normally, you get your inheritance after the man is dead. So by the time you rock up to your dad and say, give me my inheritance, basically he's saying, just die, just give me my inheritance. There was something wrong with that relationship. And on the face of it, the relationship with the older son looked like a good relationship. You know, he stayed, he was serving, he was faithful. But that relationship, there was something wrong with that relationship too. And what God's calling us to is to loving, healthy, close relationships with him. With the younger son, he went, did his own thing, right? With the older son, he stayed and he served. But all he saw was service, service, service. And we see towards the end of that parable, when the younger brother comes back, the older brother, they might have started off with a great brother relationship. But by that time, by the time his younger brother left, he wrote him off. In his mind, he was dead. He wrote him off. He was bitter towards him. So his younger brother comes back and the older one wouldn't come in. He's angry. He's upset. But the father, what's he doing? The Bible says from a long way off, he saw his son. Why? Because he was looking, he was yearning. He wanted that son to come back to him. He wanted a relationship with him that was loving, that was tight. He loved him with everything. And the father runs to the son, embraces him, kisses his neck, right? That's one relationship. The older son, on the other hand, he says, this son who has gone and wasted your livelihood of riotous living with prostitutes, he comes back and see what you've done for him. And I have been serving and slaving, I've been faithful. And even a young goat, you haven't given me to celebrate with my friends. That's another relationship. It wasn't a loving relationship either. The father wanted a loving relationship with both sons. And the father said something to the son, to his older son, which for me is so profound. He said, everything that I have is yours. And truly, when you look at verse 12, so verse 12 is the second verse in that story. In verse 12, when the younger one had come for his inheritance, the Bible says he divided the inheritance between them. From that minute, the other half of the inheritance belonged to the older one, but he didn't know. He didn't know what he had. He thought he didn't even have access to a young goat. Meanwhile, everything there was his. Is that you and I? Our service to God, is it born out of love? Or are we just serving and serving and serving? And we are not privy to the goodness of God, to the power God has invested in us, to the inheritance that he has given us, to the giftings, the calling on our lives that he said we should go out there and start to perform with. Are we like that older son? Everyone looking at that older son would have said, this is the best son ever. They would have said to the father, you're so blessed. You're so lucky to have a son like this. Not like that useless one that, you know, went off. But yet that relationship wasn't right. How is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? Do you see God as that divine heavenly father who's up there with his divine cane, just watching you, waiting for you to mess up and then just whack, give you a divine discipline to get you back in line? Or do you see him as your loving father who's yearning for you, wanting relationship with you, not just service? You know, when we serve God, God wants us to serve him out of love, not out of duty, not out of if I don't do it, then I might be hellbound. No, God doesn't want us to serve him out of that kind of fear. He wants us to serve him out of love. God is calling you and I into a loving relationship with him. How is your relationship with God? How is my relationship with God? In the Old Testament, we have a wonderful illustration. And it's not a story. It's an actual occurrence. It's actually somebody's life where God shows us the kind of love that he has for us through the life of Hosea. So the Old Testament, the prophet Hosea. And God wanted to show the Israelites how much he loved him. He loved them. So Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So many kings were throughout their lifestyle, Hosea had relationship with God. And then verse 2 says something very, very tough if you're Hosea. It says, when the Lord began to speak by Hosea, imagine you're a prophet launching out into ministry. And when God starts to speak by you, this is what God says. The Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. put yourself in Hosea's place for a moment, right? For you to even be able to discern that this is God, not the devil or some demon from the pit of hell, you have to have relationship with God. God gives some of us, speaks to us like this or in an equivalent in our form, we're going to start to bind and cast, call every brethren to come and join us that we'll stop hearing strange voices in Jesus' name. See? See? We all don't want to hear this kind of word, right? But Hosea didn't question it. Hosea knew it was God. How did he know it was God? Hosea was in relationship. Ha. Huh. When I was in secondary school, I had a Muslim friend who, another Christian friend, and I were very passionate that this our friend mustn't go to hell. And we were very zealous. So we used to preach to her a lot. And so what we started doing during break time is she would bring the Quran. She won't let us touch it. She said we couldn't touch it. But she'll bring the Quran and she'll open passages and she'll read to us, which will bring our Bible and we'll be going back and forth like that. And I remember then she used to come with pre-prepared questions. So these were questions, she must have got them from somewhere, thinking about it now, where you take one verse in the Bible and another verse and they seem to be contradictory. You know, and she'll ask us all these questions. And you know, we used to believe God for wisdom and God used to give us wisdom and we used to share with her. But I remember then my greatest fear was that she would come across the book of Hosea and ask questions about it because I didn't get it. So in my heart, it was always like, God, please don't let her see Hosea because how are we going to explain that one, right? Because I just, like, God tells the pastor to go and marry a prostitute and comes to the front and tell all of us that, we'll say, Pastor, really? But now I read the book of Hosea, and I'm sure you read the book of Hosea too, and what we see is God's amazing, amazing, amazing love. And God said, this is how he loved Israel. Even though Israel had gone and done her own thing, prostitution, all that, God says, go and marry her. And he marries her, brings her into his home. She has children for him. And you think that the wife, Gomez, would be grateful to Hosea for rescuing her from a life of prostitution and all that. But what does she do? In Hosea chapter 3, we see what she does. She goes back to her harlotry. She goes back to adultery. And then God's word comes again to Hosea. And Hosea doesn't say to God, God, please stop speaking to me. Enough is enough. Hosea doesn't say, you know, I've tried with Gomez. I've tried. God knows I've tried. Hosea 3 verses 1 to 3 says, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love the raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you. While we were yet sinners, what did Christ do for us? He died for us. How many times after we've given our lives to Christ have you and I been unfaithful to him? As we sit here, as I stand here, maybe we're even in disobedience right now. How many times have we been disobedient, followed our own agendas, not prioritized the things of God? You know, we all know Matthew 6:33 and all that, but how many times have we not lived it? And yet God doesn't say, you know, that one, I've had enough. I've written her off. I've written him off. But God is calling us like that prodigal son back into relationship, back into that place of love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And that's where God is calling us to. God says he loves you, he loves me, and he's calling us into sweet relationship with him. Not relationship born out of fear, out of duty, but relationship that's a closeness. Relationship that I would hear God's voice all the time. Relationship that I'll be obedient to God. Relationship that would spur me on and spur you on to be who God has called us to be. Relationship that would help us to do the things he's assigned us to do. To do the things he's assigned us to do. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul was writing, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he talks about one of the reasons why it's really important that we understand, that we believe, that we embrace this love of God. And I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Ephesians chapter 3, 17 to 19. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
If you and I, if our lives are going to be filled with all the fullness of God, if our lives are going to be permeated with the presence of God, then we need to understand this love. We need to be walking in this love. We need to believe this love. We need to embrace this love. That Ephesians 3:19, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Ephesians 3:19 in the Amplified, it says, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. You know, Peter and John going to the beautiful gates, it wasn't a one-off for them. The reason why they looked at that man who was there, who was looking for money, and they said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you, is because they were full of God. They were full of his presence. They were in a place of overflow. And that's what God is calling you and I to. But I cannot be full of God, be in a place of overflow, if I'm not connected in relationship with him. And it's not just the relationship of Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It has to be deeper. That's why he says, draw near to me. That wasn't speaking to sinners. It was speaking to the church. It was speaking to Christians. It was speaking to you and I. There's a depth of relationship in God that we have not experienced, and that by God's grace, we will experience. God is there. God is there saying, draw near, draw near. But whether or not we draw near, guess what? Totally up to you, totally up to me. God is not going to move. God is not going to see you drawing near and then do hide and seek with you. No, God wants you to draw near. God wants to be in sweet relationship with you, with me. But it's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's up to me. Think about any relationship, your closest relationship. What sustains it? There's communication, two-way communication. A husband and wife might be so in love on that day when they said, I do. But if there's a breakdown in communication, there's a breakdown in relationship. The relationship cannot grow. The relationship cannot stay close. There's going to be a coolness that will come to that relationship. Communication is key. God says, draw near to me. He says, call to me. He wants you to come into that place where doing your quiet time is not a tick box exercise, where it's not a case of, oh, I open the Bible, I read so that they don't say I didn't study, or so I don't feel guilty all day. No, it's because, like the psalmist, I am yearning for his presence as the deer pants for the water. That's what God is calling you and I to, sweet relationship. How is your relationship with God? How is my relationship with God? I pray that God would help us. His word, we cannot be in relationship, deep relationship with God. We cannot grow in our relationship with God unless we become people of the word. And not people of the word because they're compelling us. Not people of the word because I have some spiritual mentor who bugs me and says, Fumi, have you read your Bible this week? And I can say, I read John, I read Luke, and I added Matthew for good measure. And you say, oh, what did you gain from it? And I can't even remember what's in there. No, but because I'm yearning for God. I was listening to someone and she said, you know, she was reading the book of John. And she was coming to God with, I must hear from you. I want relationship with you. And you know how long it took her to read the book of John? Any guesses, anybody? 2 years. 2 years to get through the book of John because she was studying. She was meditating. She was praying. Her heart was open. Her spirit was open. It's not about quantity. Quality is important. Quality is important. I pray that God would help us. How do we get into relationship with God and stay and grow in that relationship? Through yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He wants sweet relationship with us. We need to get into relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to get in relationship through obedience, through obedience. You know, if I love you, I would not want to hurt you. If I love you, I will not do the things that are going to make you cry, that are going to make you sorrow. You know, the Bible talks about us not grieving the Holy Spirit. If I love you, I won't go out. A husband that loves his wife will not go around sleeping with everybody and then saying, I love you. He doesn't love her. If I love you, I would obey his commandments. That's what Jesus says, through obedience, through obedience. How do we stay in that relationship? And I love this one, and I'm going to end with this one today. So we have a few steps to go through, but because time is far gone, I'm going to end here today, and by God's grace, we'll continue with this another Sunday. But I'm going to end with this one. How do we grow and continue in that relationship with God? Through relationship with fellow lovers of God. Very key. And I thank God for Sunday school, where we touched on this as well. through relationship with fellow lovers of God, guess what? Fire is contagious. You get around fire and you would catch it. Fire is contagious. You know, Brother Charles was saying, iron sharpens iron. Who's around you? Who's surrounding you? Are you surrounded by water that is killing the fire you have in you? Or are you surrounded by fire? Are you surrounded? Fire is contagious. I remember back when in my uni days, I had a friend who we were all Christians, we were all in church together and everything. And when I tried to talk about God or share things about God, she would always say to me, so after a while I stopped, she would say, you know what, stop preaching to the choir. And actually she was literally in the choir. But her point was, I know this, I've heard this, kind of like what we said in Sunday school. And I was thirsty for somebody who I could talk to about God, who we could pray together. But I had this other friend, and I thank God, God put fire around me and made me fire as well. We would leave uni during breaks in uni, and we would go to the university chaplaincy together. Back then, the chaplaincy had an upper room that was a prayer room, and anybody could go there. And we would go, we would pray together. We would share God's word together. If I read something that puzzles me, I would share with her, or she would share with me. It was fire. Together, we were a furnace. Fire is contagious. Iron was sharpening iron. For every one of us, and especially for our young people, who are the guys around you? You know, I was talking to one of our young people once, and she was saying about how she and her friend, they exchange Bible verses and things. And I was excited. That's how it should be. It shouldn't just be about the programs that we love or the sports that we both love. When we get together, is iron sharpening iron? Is fire being contagious? If not, we're missing it and we need to rectify. When I call precious, what are we discussing? I mean, God forbid that we'll be gossiping. Iron has to sharpen iron. When we get together, fire needs to ignite. If I'm feeling down and Bumi calls me, fire must spark before she gets off the phone. Fire is contagious. Who are the people around you? Make sure you have the right people around you. If you surround yourself with the wrong people, the truth of the matter is that trouble is ahead. Trouble is ahead. So make sure that you're surrounded by fire, by iron, and God would help us in Jesus' name. So like I said, we would continue with this another day by God's grace. But what we've shared so far, I want you to just close your eyes and take a minute and talk to God. How is your relationship with God? I cannot answer that question for you. You cannot answer that question for me. How do you want that relationship to be? More importantly, how does God want it to be? God is calling us to a deeper, deeper, deeper relationship with him. God is saying to you, my daughter, my son, I want you to draw near. And it's up to you. God has not moved. God would not move. And God is saying, come, come, come. Are you like the prodigal son who needs to come to your senses and head back home to the father that loves you? Or are you like Gomez who you've accepted Christ and you keep going back like a dog to your dirt? God is saying, I have not written you off. God is saying, come home. God is saying, come to me. Or are you like the older son who everything you do, you're working so hard, everybody sees you and says, this brother, this sister is amazing, but there's no love there. You're doing it out of a sense of duty, just out of a sense of service. God is calling you to a loving relationship. Lift up your voice today, wherever you are. And maybe you're even here, you come to church, you do church, but you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Step one, you need to. He says, whosoever believeth in him, believeth in the Son of God, believeth in Jesus will not perish, but you have a part to play. God has done his over 2,000 years ago. So God is calling us, lift up your voice and say, Father, help me. And I want us to pray for our young ones as well, that these ones, God would help them in the name of Jesus, that they would get into deep, sweet relationship with God and never look back in the name of Jesus. Just lift up your voice for one more minute and pray for yourself. God forbid that God would speak to us, that God would talk to us, that God would remind us that he wants a deep, deep relationship with us. And then we go and we do nothing with it. God forbid. So pray and say, Father, the grace and the will to embrace this word that has come to me, the grace and the will to get into a deeper realm of relationship with you, Father, grant to me in the name of Jesus. Pray not just for the grace, but the will as well. Sometimes we are full of grace, but we don't use that grace. You need the will. Pray that God would help you, that God would help our young ones. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Father, I pray that this word would not stand against any of us on the day of judgment. Father, help us to get into deep, sweet, intimate relationship with you. Help us to truly be friends of the Almighty God, men and women, boys and girls after your heart. in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you.